Lord Jesus, open our hearts and minds as we listen to your word. Like the Canaanite woman, may we come to you with persistence and hope, trusting in your mercy and your love. Amen. I must say, although I've heard this gospel reading many times, I still struggle with it, Jesus referring to dogs. Verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. So does it make you feel uncomfortable as well? It's difficult. Was Jesus being racist? Because at first glance, Jesus seems to be refusing to help someone in desperate need because of their ethnicity. So what is going on? Before going any further, I'll make a couple of preliminary points. Firstly, on occasion, Jesus' words do sound harsh. Sometimes culture, language, and the passage of 2,000 years means that something gets lost in translation. Sometimes there is no easy explanation. Sometimes Jesus speaks harshly and sharply. And we also know from the whole biblical story that Jesus always embodies blessing, never rejection. Secondly, written words cannot convey a twinkle in the eye, nor the tone of voice. Perhaps Jesus was using the kind of language the Canaanite woman might have expected from a Jewish man, testing her response. His tone may perhaps have been playful rather than abrupt. As I often do, when confronted with difficult passages, I turn to the biblical scholar Tom Wright's commentary for guidance. We are at a point where Jesus' fundamental mission is being defined. He wasn't simply a traveling doctor whose task was to heal every sick person he encountered. He had a very specific calling to God's people, Israel, and they needed to know that at last God was fulfilling his promises. The kingdom for which they had longed was beginning to appear. Jesus was its herald, and he was himself God's anointed king, the Messiah promised in the Old Testament scriptures. But this message was initially directed towards Israel, the promise bearers through whom Jesus' word and new life would eventually be brought to the whole world. We sometimes forget the special place of Israel in God's purposes, but Jesus never did. What Jesus had come to do was not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Not to do away with God's chosen people, but to fulfill the purpose for which that people existed. If God's new life was to come to the world, it would come through Israel. But this was very much an interim situation that found its fulfillment in the crucifixion on the cross. As Jesus died on the cross, a Roman centurion affirmed that Jesus was truly the Son of God. The King of the Jews had become the Savior of the world. But Israel had to hear the message first. If the promise-bearing people were in danger of forgetting the promise, they needed reminding, precisely because those promises were now being fulfilled. And so Jesus limited his work almost entirely to the Jewish people. But then comes this extraordinary encounter with the Canaanite woman. Not only did she believe that Jesus could heal her daughter, she addressed him as Son of David, the Jewish messianic title which even the disciples were only gradually coming to associate him with. And most remarkably, she seems to understand how God's choice of Israel was going to work out for the sake of the whole world. She accepts the designation dog, an insulting term sometimes used for Gentiles, but then she turns it right round. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, she responded. Her reply accepts Jesus' point that his mission is to Israel, but argues that this does not exclude others from Israel's blessings. If she is only a dog, then she'll gladly accept the crumbs meant for the dogs. Her response may be just as playful and tongue-in-cheek as Jesus' challenge. If Israel is indeed the promise-bearing people, then Israel's Messiah will ultimately bring blessing to the whole world. The dogs will share the scraps that fall from the children's table. The woman knows that God's kingdom is coming. She knows that God's promises will ultimately be fulfilled. But she asks to experience something of that future blessing now in the present. She begs for mercy. She asks for healing for her daughter now. And her faith is so great that she receives what she asks for. Jesus heals her daughter. What an example to us. We know that one day in the kingdom of God, in the new heaven and the new earth that we look forward to after this life, justice and peace, beauty and joy will abound. And do we have the faith and the courage to work and pray for them now? The Canaanite woman shows what it means to have a faith that simply refuses to wait for the future. She believes that what God has promised for tomorrow can break into the world today. In the early 19th century, many Christians recognized that slavery was evil and would eventually have to end. But not everyone was prepared to act immediately. But William Wilberforce, Alauda Equiano, Elizabeth Hayrick, and others worked and prayed, believing that what God intended for the future had to be pursued in the present as well. Justice not just for eternity, but justice for now. Perhaps you've heard of Singing Resistance. After the killing of two people by ICE agents in Minneapolis, USA, many people were afraid to go out onto the streets. Others responded by going out and singing songs of courage and hope, peace and solidarity, songs of people coming together in grief. Singing Resistance, bringing something of the courage and hope of God's kingdom into the present. This is the kind of great faith that Jesus recognized in the Canaanite woman. So what are the issues we face today? What promises of God have we assumed are far off, but should actually be claimed right now? Through prayer and faith that refuses to be put off. Protecting our planet and pursuing climate justice, ensuring fair trade, ending modern-day slavery and human trafficking, ending racism. Let's open our ears, let's open our hearts and our minds, and look for opportunities to bring God's kingdom here and now. Perhaps we could support financially organizations such as the International Justice Mission, IJM, tackling modern-day slavery and human trafficking. Or following this summer's fifth heat wave, we might support a Christian environmental charity such as Arosha, protecting nature, restoring habitats, and inspiring care for God's creation. Or might we support an organization seeking peace, reconciliation, and justice in the Middle East, such as Friends of the Holy Land, with which our own Diocese of Southwark partners. Perhaps we're better positioned to pray for these organizations and for everyone who is working for justice, peace, reconciliation, and freedom. However we do it, let's join in with God's work of bringing his kingdom into the world now. And may our worship here, week by week, as we look to Jesus and receive him in Holy Communion, strengthen our faith and deepen our trust in God. So let's pray. May we have something of the Canaanite woman's great faith, faith that trusts God's promises, faith that refuses to be put off, and faith that brings the hope of God's future kingdom into the present. Amen.